Welcome to the teaching ministry of Steve Franklin. Steve's calling is to coach champions in the kingdom of God. Our prayer for you as you listen to this word of encouragement and instruction is that you'll be built up in your faith and encouraged to take the next step in your development as one of God's true champions. Here's Steve.
Well, it's a blessing to be here with you today. We have, this is the best church ever. Amen. You know, after some time back, Chris and Katie, y'all remember this, after I had the honor of baptizing their son Elisha, we walked back to the back to towel off, and Elisha said, "This is the best baptism ever." I shall never forget that. I'll have more to say about Chris and Katie's journey. The Lord is doing some exciting things in their life, and we'll talk about that at a later time. I got this from Sandra Joan this week, and you know, her Phoebe Ministries is a ministry of helps and encouragement to so many, and we are honored to bless and support that ministry. And I just want to read this. It struck me when I read this from what you said there, Sandra Joan. Currently, finger pointing is at an epidemic level in the body of Christ. Everybody's pointing their finger. You did this, you do that, you're wrong. Listen to this. Let us not be a modern-day scribe and Pharisee by calculating the sins and faults of others. Yes, take them to Jesus, but not as a judge. Take them to Jesus as his priest, standing in the gap for them, allowing the Holy Spirit to admonish and correct them. May God bless you, dear lady, for that word from the Lord. You know, with all the negativity that we see around in our culture, and you can't view any news publication, any telecast, broadcast, whatever, without all the negativity and the infighting and outfighting. And I want you to understand, God is doing some good things, some mighty things in the earth. He's doing some incredible things, especially in young people. I'm encouraged by what I see God doing in some young people. It is really, really thrilling to me. I don't know if any of you are golfers or... I watch one golf event a year, and it's the last 30 minutes of the Masters. Other than that, I'm a big golf fan. But I like to see at the end who wins. And at the end last Sunday, there was a young man named Scotty Scheffler, I believe. Is that how you pronounce it? Pastor Jeremiah sent this to me and asked if I had seen this. It was a brief, less than 1 minute deal that all the cameras across the whole country and even the world were on this man about his winning of the Masters, the most elite golf tournament anywhere. And I want you to see something that this young man said on camera. We got that, Pastor Wayne? All right, listen to this.
Today I was able to do that. Sean Martin.
You say constantly that your identity is not in your golf scores. What is it about winning and competing then that you find satisfying?
You know, that's a really good question. I was sitting around with my buddies this morning. I was a bit overwhelmed because I told them, I was like, I wish that I didn't want to win as badly as I did, or as badly as I do. I think it would make the mornings easier. But I love winning. I hate losing. I really do. And when you're here in the biggest moments, when I'm sitting there with the lead on Sunday, I really, really want to win badly. And my buddies told me this morning, you know, my victory was secure on the cross. And that's a pretty special feeling. To know that I'm secure for forever, and it doesn't matter, you know, whether or not I win this tournament or if I lose this tournament, you know, my identity is secure for forever.
I bet you didn't see that on the local news. There's a whole lot of things that God is doing. Don't get discouraged that nobody is standing up for the Lord. There's a whole lot that you don't know, especially in our young adults and young people, and I praise the Lord for it. And all the people said,
amen.
Amen. Turn with me to the book of Joshua, please. We're going to blast off from chapter 5. But today we're talking about taking your Jericho. God has a plan for that. All of us have Jerichos. We have walled cities. We have circumstances and situations that seem to be absolutely cut off from anything that is within our ability to fix. I said we have situations and circumstances that are way beyond our ability to fix. And they're right in front of us. We can't help but see them. The children of Israel found themselves in that circumstance and situation. There was a walled city, a vast, highly impenetrable city, that is in the natural, with full of all kind of enemies. It was called Jericho. They had just cross the Jordan River. So I want to remind you briefly, we're going to go on a 3-minute review of 4 chapters. Are you ready? God said to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. In other words, you got to put your security in me and not in somebody you can see and touch and feel anymore. Because what is real in heaven is more real than what you're seeing on the earth, because what you see on the earth is subject to change. That which looks impenetrable to you today and impossible can be changed by sundown. And God said, here's what I want you to do. I want my children to have what I promised them, your father Abraham, and I want you to rise up and lead them into that land of Canaan. How am I going to do that? Remember these things. Number one, I will never forsake you nor leave you. Regardless of what you're feeling today, regardless of how impossible your situation looks, remember, He will never forsake you nor leave you, and nothing is impossible with our God. Number two, don't let the word of God depart from your mouth. Speak that word, meditate on it, day and night. Be careful to do according to all that's written in it, and then you will have success and you will prosper. Don't forget to bring into your life those that I've called out to intercede for you and to wage war on your behalf. Don't sit there in pride. Take advantage of the resources I've given you. Now, chapter 1, chapter 2, I've got secret agents that you have never seen or known before, Steve. I got secret agents that you wouldn't believe if I told you. And God had called out a woman named Rahab, who wasn't exactly a priestess, she was a prostitute. God used her to hide the spies that would be integral in the taking of Jericho. We found out in chapter 3 and 4 that God not only has a way for you to cross the Jordan, but He's got something He wants you to do. Number one, make certain that you honor the presence of the Lord. Don't let the Ark of the Covenant get behind you. Keep it in front of you. Keep your eyes on He who is the victory. Give Him praise and honor and thanksgiving. And set yourself under leadership that can be trusted to exalt the Lord, not themselves.
Amen. Amen.
When I say, and we have hundreds and thousands of visits, really, to our teachings every year, and I say to all of those who are spokesmen and women for the things of God. God called you to bring honor and glory and praise to himself, not to make you a rock star. The greatest among you shall be your servant. And God's not going to look at you on the day of judgment. The Lord's not going to say to you, well, how big were your crowds? He was going to say, what'd you do with what I gave you? I should have learned that a little earlier in my ministry. But God is faithful. Amen. When you cross the Jordan, and you did, all you got to do is wait for me, follow me, honor and obey me. I will part the waters. But when I do and you've crossed over, set up memorials to what I've done. We talked about that at length one Sunday. So now we get to chapter 5. We're going right through here, the book of Joshua. If you wanted to hear a clear little, clever little talk, you shouldn't have come here. Because the word's all we got. Joshua chapter 5. Let's take a look earlier. In fact, I want you to stand on your feet now and give honor to the word of God. And we will read this word together. Ready? Read. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out. None came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your land, its king, and the mighty men of valor. So you shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do for 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram horn before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass, when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. May God bless and honor the reading of his word. So earlier on, and you can see and tell that we skipped around in 5 and 6. In early on in chapter 5, we see something amazing. So it was when all the kings of the Amorites who were on the west side of the Jordan and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea, oh man, I love this, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel until we had crossed over. Listen to this. Their heart melted and there was no spirit in them any longer because of the children of Israel. How many of you know, if you're obeying the Lord, if you're honoring the Lord, God is going to deal even with your enemies, and they are not going to have the will to keep on fighting against you. They're going to lose some of the energy they have towards your demise. They're going to begin to lose heart in threatening and intimidating you. Because God is going to go before you if he's called you to do this, and if you are submitting to him and honoring him, God will remove the resolve from your enemies to destroy you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And at that time, the Lord said to Joshua, verse 2, make flint knives for yourself and circumcise the sons of Israel again the second time. So Joshua made knives for himself and circumcised the sons of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. And this is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. All the people who came out of Egypt who were males, all the men of war, the soldiers, had died in the wilderness on the way, that is in that 40-year period from the Exodus from Egypt to getting to the land of Canaan, they had all passed away because of their unbelief. You'll see that in the following word, in the following verses. So you know what God was saying through this? This seems a little strange in the New Testament age about the value. Why would God say to this? Why would he say this? Because Genesis 17, remember, when God got into covenant with a man named Abraham, and you're a recipient of that covenant, by the way. When God got into covenant with Abraham, God said to Abraham, I'm going to bless you and make you great. I'm going to bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. I'm going to give you this land forever. Your land, my highest and best will be yours forever. And God said, this is what I want to be a mark in the natural of a spiritual truth. The spiritual truth is, I am in covenant with you. I will fight for you. I will defend you. I will bless you. I will bless you. But I want you to never forget that, and I want, listen, I want there to be a physical mark on all the males. Why? Okay, in the Old Testament, listen, in the Old Testament, circumcision was a sign of a spiritual covenant. The male reproductive organ, which is a carrier of the seed of life, should bear the mark of covenant with God in the reproductive act. That is, God wants everybody to know, and he wants everybody to know that this is a holy covenant. And even in the most intimate act of reproduction, I want you to know that when seed is released into egg that produces life, I want you to know, and I want you to be reminded, you're in covenant with me. That's why covenant. That's why circumcision in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, after the cross, this side of the cross, the Bible says that circumcision is in the spirit and not the flesh. Romans, and all the males said, if you didn't want to hear it straight, you came to the wrong place. The New Testament says that circumcision is in the spirit. It is of the heart. Romans 2:29, Philippians 3:3. This side of the cross, I've got it on the back of your outline, there next to the calendar on your outline, for the believer is an internal matter, a matter of the heart, meaning that you are severed from that old sinful lifestyle. That which was in the Old Testament, the cutting off of the end of the physical male reproductive organ. In the New Testament, circumcision is being set apart, being severed from that old way of thinking and speaking and behaving by the Spirit of God on the inside. Okay, now, you've had your teaching on circumcision now. God was saying to Joshua and the children of Israel, before you start approaching Jericho, this impossible situation, get back to honoring my covenant. You got a difficult Jericho in your life, God would say to you, sever yourself and your thinking, speaking, and behaving from old patterns of thinking. Well, I can't do this. I'm going down. I'll never be the same. I'll never get over this. You got to get circumcised from that way of thinking and begin to get into the Word of God. And what is the Holy Spirit of God saying? It is, when you've got those situations and circumstances, would you please quit rehearsing all the reasons why it'll never change? It's circumcision of the heart. Boy, you know, some of us need to go to the Lord and say, God, I need my heart circumcised. I need that old way of thinking, speaking, and behaving to be severed by the power of your Word and your Spirit. Forgive me. Forgive me for connecting with my unbelief. So that's the first thing God said to Joshua, you got to do before you approach Jericho. We see there in verse 9, the Lord said to Joshua, this day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. After he obeyed God, and after he obeyed him concerning, and he and those he appointed to help him in circumcising those males that had come through the land, the wilderness, the young ones. And of course now it is almost imperative for in the medical world for skilled surgeons to do circumcision on male babies, and it is for health reasons and hygiene. But it's a lot more imperative for God's people to be circumcised in heart. And to quit those old ways of thinking, speaking, and behaving, and operate in the new and covenant with God. All right? So we find out that they're camping there. In visual sight of Jericho. They were in the plains of Jericho. And an interesting thing happened here in verse 12. Manna ceased on the... They've been eating manna for 40 years. This is a big deal. You've been eating the same thing for 40 years, and all of a sudden, whoop, no more. The manna ceased on the day after they had eaten the produce of the land. You know what God was doing? He was giving them a little encouragement. It ain't going to be like this forever. Sometimes your faith just needs a little encouragement. I said, sometimes your faith is fine. You just need some encouragement. You need some new energy to that faith. It's okay to ask for that. Because the Holy Spirit is all over that. He is an encourager. He is the one called alongside to help. He'll be happy to oblige if you'll just listen. Well, then something amazing happened, verse 13. Joshua was by Jericho. He was taking a look at what an impossible situation this is going to be. I can't look through those walls. It's impenetrable. My situation can't be fixed. Then he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man, capital M, an angelic man, stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said, are you for us or for them? That's a good question. And so the man said, no, I'm not for you or them. I am a commander of the army of the Lord. I'm for the Lord. Amen. You know, more of God's people need to quit saying, well, I'm for this, I'm for that. No, I'm for the Lord. I am for the Lord. And then Joshua fell on his face and he worshiped and he said, well, what does my Lord say to his servant? And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take a sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. Chapter 6, verse 2, I have given Jericho into your hand. Its king and the mighty men of valor, you shall march around the city. We read that earlier. All you men of war, go around the city once, do it for 6 days, and watch this. Verse 4, 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And it shall come to pass, they'll make a long blast with a ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat. The following verses say they did just that. Can you imagine? Now, I want you to understand something here. Scholars tell us that there was somewhere between 2.5 and 3 million people. Oh, you think Bryant Denny or Jordan Hare is loud with 90, 100,000. No. You see what God's saying here? 2.5 to 3 million people, I want you to all shout at the same time. That's hard to even imagine. Yeah. You think about a decibel level that'll rock the earth, that'll quake the earth. That is something else right there. They were shouting not because, oh, Lord, we're about to die. They were shouting because we got this because our God has gone before us. Well, they did just what God told them to do. But I want you to skip down to verse 15. It came to pass on the seventh day, they rose early about the dawning of the day and marched around the city seven times in the same manner. On that day only they marched around the city seven times. Can you imagine what the priest and the people thought when Joshua called a meeting and said, okay, here's what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to take the city. Wait. We're going to send our priest out there with the Ark of the Covenant. Remember, the one thing you can't forget is to honor God first. When you're approaching your Jericho, make His presence your first priority. Amen. Prayer and worship. Prayer and worship and thanksgiving and praise. The Lord inhabits the praises of His people. Thanksgiving and praise, as Pastor Wayne ministered to us a few weeks ago, is the atmosphere in which you see God work. Take that Ark of the Covenant, make it first. Amen. Oh boy. I want you to see something interesting here. No, I'm going to save that for later. Remember and honor. Here's what God's trying to say to us today. Somebody needs to hear this. Your victory is won in heaven. It's in heaven where your victory is won. It's only manifested in earth. But it's won in heaven. So are you going before the Lord in thanksgiving and praise about your situation? Are you staying in prayer and thanksgiving and worship? Are you staying with the promises of the Word of God? Or has your focus shifted to what's on the other side of the walls of Jericho? God didn't call them to figure out what was on the other side of the walls, or even how they were going to get the walls down. Amen. He told them to focus on the only one who could bring victory and promise to do it. Stay before the Lord. The victory is won in heaven. Amen. Stay under the right spiritual leadership. Those priests were obedient to the Word of God. But I want you to notice something else. Look at verse 8. So it was when Joshua had spoken to the people that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram horns before the Lord advanced and blew the trumpets, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. Now listen, verse 9, the armed men went before the priests. What? The armed men went before the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard of soldiers came after the Ark. Now, we're actually told in an earlier passage that on an occasion earlier, there were 40,000 armed men. So there was a section of soldiers going before the priest in the Ark, and a section of soldiers, armed men, coming after the Ark. Well, now, wait a minute. Why would God ask for armed men before and after, when he knew full well that it wasn't going to take that to knock the walls flat. Our God is a practical God. And how many of you know that he wanted the people to know that nothing and nobody should interfere with the what the Ark of the Covenant represented? Can I ask you something? Are you letting somebody or something? Are you letting some entertainment, some political party? Are you letting somebody or something keep you and your focus on the presence in the Ark of the Covenant? The presence of Almighty God, the Spirit of God who indwells you as a believer. Amen. Amen. Nothing should interfere with that. And in this side of the cross, you can say that that army is an army of prayer warriors. But I want to tell you something else. The Lord showed me this week, and I began to think about it, and I think it's true. One of the things when you're in a spiritual battle, you must always recognize where the battle is won, heaven, who the victor is, your God. But you also should know that sometimes God will call some people alongside to help you. That those people who are called alongside to help you are not the source of your victory, but they are the source that help protect the victory that God has already decided is yours. Might be your lawyer. Might be your physician. Might be your financial advisor. Might be any number of people who might be your armed guard to help you practically. They don't win the battle for you, but they're called alongside to assist you. Well, I don't need any of that. I just trust God for everything. Is that a fact? How did you get here today? Amen. Did you just sit in your room and pray that God would supernaturally put you here? Or did you, in fact, get in a vehicle? Amen. And that vehicle had to do something in the natural to get you here to have a spiritual encounter. Well, why would you think that God doesn't have vehicles out there to assist you in the victory he wants for you? Amen. And I'll bet they've got skin on them. And I bet some of them are operations that, you get the picture. Amen. So when you've got this incredible Jericho that looks impossible, understand that your God is in covenant with you. Stay in a place of praise and worship, but don't disdain somebody he might send along to help you. In the natural. The victory is won in the spirit. It's manifested in the natural. I don't know about you, but I need every asset I can get in my... Amen? Amen. Amen. Counselors, physicians, attorneys, you tell them, look, if God has assigned somebody to help me, I'm going to submit to that and say thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Okay, so verse 20. So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets there on that seventh day. And it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout, my Lord, millions of them, that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up to the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Utterly destroyed it. Amen. Oh, boy. So there are some questions that are raised by that, and they are really being raised nowadays about why would God, the loving, merciful God, why would he call for judgment so strong and terrible that he would just wipe out a city? Why would this God, Pastor, that you're preaching about with the love and mercy, how do we process passages where God's judgment is revealed? How do we do that? First of all, understand this. We only have a little bit of information. And if we only have a little bit of information, we don't have but a little bit of understanding. We don't know how long, how deep, how evil, how destructive this, when God executes judgment, the people were for so very long. Amen. Understand from the beginning, the issue is not God's character. It's our limited ability to understand. And we also fail to factor in that this world has been touched by sin. And a lot of what we see is the fallout from the fall. But here's what we need to do. We need to focus on things, on what we do know. Listen, there is a vast amount of information. You can go to any given verse in the Bible and find out, well, why would God do that? That doesn't seem fair or right. Why would he do that? Focus on what you do know. Number one, God is holy. He's also righteous and just. But he is loving, merciful. He's kind and gracious. Thank God his patience is far greater than his wrath. His grace is always greater than sin. Can I tell you something? Whatever sin you've committed, God's grace is greater. Can everybody say amen?
Amen?
God's mercy is extended. We see in the Bible places where God's mercy is extended to innocent for their eternal lives. You read the passage about how David's little child died, 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23. The Bible says that David, what did God say about David? He wasn't perfect, but he was a man after God's own heart, right? David prayed, and his close associates prayed and prayed and prayed, and the priest prayed and prayed and prayed, and the child died. The child through Bathsheba died. And those who were watching David very, very cautiously were concerned that he was going to take his own life or to just stay in a pit of depression. What they found was that David got up, went into private quarters, took a bath, put on some clean, fresh clothing, and he came out, and everybody said, why are you dressing? Why are you looking like that? And David said, he shall not return to me, but I shall go to him.
Yes, that's right.
All these little innocent children who perish are with Jesus.
Hallelujah.
They may not return to you, but you shall go to them. Eternally. Eternally secure. Eternally loved. Eternally protected, eternally fulfilled, eternally full. Wouldn't come back here if I had the chance. Eternally. Like I said to someone not too long ago, you need to also understand that you don't have any idea the poison that was in the culture. Do you know that some of these pagan people were actually taking their little children and throwing them into fire as a sacrifice to some pagan deity? God doesn't like that. And so some of what God has done that looked like judgment was actually mercy for those who are in a place of innocence. Romans chapter 2 tells us something interesting, and that is the Bible tells us that God has placed on the inside of every person a witness of his being, a witness of the reality that what you're seeing and that little trinket that you're worshiping or all that kind of witchcraft spell, that is not the truth. There's an inner witness called a conscience. And it's in every man, in the darkest, most remote places of the earth, and right here in the United States. Every man has a conscience, and we can trust God with this. It's in the Word. If you respond to the amount of light you have, God will give you more light. I believe with all my heart that regardless of how remote a person is, if they are responding to that conscious, that inner witness on the inside of them, not the Holy Spirit of God through that indwells the believer, but that inner witness in their personhood, that there is a God and He is more than what you're seeing. He is not what you're practicing. If you'll respond to the light you have, God will somehow, some way, get the truth in you. And that truth is in Jesus Christ, His Son. He's God. And I want to tell you something. It's far more feasible today than it ever has been with satellites and internets. We have people listening to these services in other countries of the world. Yeah, in Russia. You know, God's got people everywhere. You need to understand and you need to pray for China. There are people there who are worshiping in secret and have been for years that have not bowed to the communist rule of the Chinese people. God's got people everywhere. You better be careful who you think's your enemy. Your real enemy is Satan. Amen. And finally, I want to say this, when you're having to focus on issues of, okay, why would God do this? I see this in the Old Testament. Why would, look, always view God through the Jesus lens. Well, wait a minute. Is Jesus your Lord? Yes. Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have what? Who, Joe? If you've seen me, you have seen Father God. I love Hebrews 1:3. Jesus is the exact nature of the invisible God. He is God in human flesh. If you want to know what God's like, He's just like Jesus. So did Jesus go around killing children? Did He go around afflicting people with cancer? Then God doesn't either. And some people have gotten out of bounds and gone from sovereignty to fatalism, and that's a shame. God is just like Jesus. His character, His persona, His mercy, His grace. You love Jesus? That's what God's like. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Are you learning anything? Are we learning anything? So glad to be here. I want you to repeat this after me. Father God, in the name of Jesus, my Lord, I want to thank you and praise you that you are my King. You're my God. I can trust you. These Jerichos that are in my life are subject to fall. I believe that you will prevail in all my circumstances. Encourage me by your Spirit to stay in a place of thanksgiving and praise and prayer and the Word and the fellowship of the saints. Open my eyes to all the assets, the allies you've given me. May I not trust them, but may I appreciate them and trust you. Hallelujah. Church, I want to tell you something in light of the last discussion in this. I've put at the bottom of your outline name of Brother Mike Tribble. You know, we ordained him. Mike's ministry is SWAT, Spiritual Warfare for America team. But Mike has done a lot of study on apologetics, that is the defense of the faith. And if you or somebody you know or love or close to want some ammunition, if you will, from the truth of God's Word, I've put Brother Mike's email address in there. Call on him. He studied this far more than I have, and he's got some good word for you, information and prayer. And I've got it right down there at the bottom of your outline. I want you to know how much Dean and I love you. We don't meet on the last Sunday of the month, but we will see you in 2 weeks as we continue. And by the way, this is going to be something else 2 weeks from now, because God is going to show us what might be hurting our finances. You don't ever hear me teach a whole lot on this. I'll leave that up to you. But there's something that you may not be aware of that could be hurting what God will entrust you with financially. So I hope that you'll be here 2 weeks from now. We take a little bit different, but it's right here out of Joshua. We hope you'll see it 2 weeks from now. Go with God. He's going with you.
You can access more of Steve Franklin's teachings online at www.sfmin.com.